Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Among a cast
of hundreds of thousands. And I have to say, it's always a pleasure to be around among those many people that want to hear the righteous word of Yahweh. And, you know, that is a good thing, because we need many people to participate in the word of Yahweh. That makes us stronger, you know, in the word and even with tithes and offerings, which we will get into in a minute, because we look at how many people we get that attend this broadcast and get the word. What did it tell us in the book of Matthew? It's not just about working in the garden. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, looking at, what was it, verse 37 or 38? I think it was verse 38. Book of Matthew, chapter 9, 38 and 37. What 37 says, he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. 38. Pray ye therefore that the Yahweh of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, we know the Yahweh doesn't have a garden, but he does have things of his works. And he does have seers that bring this word unto you. And this is done without any thought in mind. He just bring this word to you. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. 10 says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work of the labor of love, which he has shown toward his name, that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. We do this continuously. And this is why we always say, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We come to you live each day with this word. And our word comes to you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that this word comes to you is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We don't have a class usually on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class, which many of us have been known to attend. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. Our class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address to use this on any search engine that you may have available. Right on that search line, you just enter tribeyahdah.com. And after you click on it, just under the big line, you will see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms. I guess some that be making tithes and offerings should take notes in these verses. In the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8, 7 says, give unto Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, we mentioned once before, come into his courts. Well, that certainly is not as up in a way. Because when you give unto Yahweh's glory and to his courts, that's to the ministry. On this note, I mentioned before, a man of wisdom asked me to see what I knew about tithes and offerings. He said, Elder Mr. Tibbs, do you know what tithes and offerings and alms mean? I said, yes, I can explain that. And after I gave him an example, he said, well, let me give you a verse. He gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, there can be no good come to him or her that is always occupied in the evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. We've seen brothers in some ministries, instead of putting money in the box for tithes and offerings, they put coins. Well, say 10%. So maybe that was 10% of what they had, the coins dropping in that box. Doo-doo. Well, I could try it in either. I'll give it no arms. Well, I think when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be unto Yahweh for his unspeakable gift. Well, he has given us unspeakable gifts, and sometimes more than one. We look at the book of Toby, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. 7 says, give alms of thy substance, and when thou givest alms, let not thy eyne be envious. Neither turn thy face from any poor, and the face of Yahweh shall not be turned away from thee. Well, when you're doing something that's good, it'll be noticed by Yahweh. In verse number 8, what does that say? In the book of Toby, chapter 4, verse 8. If thou hast abundance, give alms accordingly. If thou have but a little, be not afraid to give according to that little. Well, I guess we've seen that little. In verse 9, what does that say? 9, for thou layest up a good treasure for thyself against the day of necessity. 10, because alms do deliver from death, and suffer not to come unto darkness. 11, for alms is a good gift unto all that give it in the sight of the Most High. Well, you don't fool the Most High. When you say give 10% and you give 10 cents, that reminds me, what did it tell us about something like that? In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8 to verse number 9. See what Malachi told us. 8, will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein you have robbed me? In tithes and offerings. 9, your curse is a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's why I always say that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry is also greatly appreciated because it keeps us giving you this unadulterated word. And we look at the books of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. 30 says, and all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is Yahweh. It is righteous unto the Yahweh. Now, generally, I usually give the scripture verses on Hebrews, but we'll read them out for those that really need it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9, I usually just give those verses, but we're going to read the scriptures. 8 says, and here men that die receive tithes, but he received them, and of who is witness that he liveth? 9, and as I may so say, Levi also received a tithes and paid tithes in Abraham. All this is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahweh alive, and also for building a school to help most that do not realize what they should understand. Building a banquet hall, a radio station to reach far and abroad, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We even have a calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days, including myself, that come to all of us throughout the year. We got a whole lot of things you can do on this program. We even have a live program that you'll find is only available during a live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. This is also good for those that cannot dial that 319 number. You can enter Yahweh Radio Live on the search line and get right in there and listen to the words of Yahweh. We even have two email addresses that the listening numbers can use. The first is tribeyahdah@gmail.com. This will write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is yahdahisrael@gmail.com. also for biblical subjects or related topics. You know, sometimes I think our email address should be loaded up and packed with questions about Bible scriptures. Sometimes you only see a few, but there should be a lot of questions out there about Bible scriptures. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yaquan in mind. The first is our live conference room number. You'll find us 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yaquan's ministry. But also in calling that number, please do not call trying to teach. You will absolutely not receive a response. Remember the book of Sirach, 6, verse 6. It says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless, but have one counselor over a thousand. Just imagine four or five teachers teaching one subject in one class, or six cooks making one cake. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Also, another note we'd like to bring out. Please do not contact the sealer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. This kind of slows him down quite a bit because he's usually pretty busy with the WCC. The New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and then on top of that, answering many memos and even the Latter-day Saints. That's a whole lot on one plate. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back unless you're trying to teach. You won't receive any response. Also, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program today, remember you can always listen to your entire show at 9:15 p.m. except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yaquan Radio Live. And after you click on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Traveling Yadav. Just choose the program you are late logging into, or at that point, pick any day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal broadcast, we'd like to bring your attention, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Paltalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God. You'll find this is where Yaquan's Word is also working for your Bible education. And online there, to answer any of the questions we discuss during our broadcast, will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, right in a shot line. And during that time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Block Talk ends before teaching time, we will still continue our teaching on Pell Talk. But when you're giving scriptures to speak by the seer, one note you'd like to take note of, I would imagine, always be quick to hear and slow to speak. So the words of Yaquan always flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yaquan and not confusion. As a reminder, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, "For Yaquan is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all churches and covenants of the saints." It's when we join this, we keep the scriptures in mind because we're speaking Yaquan's word. But when you're trying to win that bump the drums contest, you will miss all the Yaquan's glory which is said unto you because we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yaquan as it reminds us in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. And 26 tells us, "But the Comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And sometimes that's a good thing, because when we're studying this word, you have to remember we always have challenges. There's those out there that will try to bring you into worded deception. That is why we always say this verse 26. Bring unto your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. Had a couple of Jehovah Witnesses stop me, for instance, about, I would say a week ago. And what their conversation was on was trying to pull me away. Why do you think, if you mention Yahweh, why does he talk about and allow so much evil to happen, so much disaster? Well, I brought up to them the book of Genesis about what he created. But when I also gave them the verse, I told them, let's see what Yahweh did. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 45 and read verse number 7. Let's see what that Yahweh had did. Would you believe that they changed the wording of that verse to make it say something different? I myself thought, what Bible are you reading? You're reading the King James Version. That's why we always have to find out what version someone is reading so we can bring them up to par. I said, let me read that. And so when I read it, the word that we had difference on was the verse about evil. Instead of saying evil, what did they tell me? Calamity. I form the light and create darkness, and I make peace and create evil. They replace evil with calamity. I could not believe it. Anyway, that's why you have to be word up in Yahweh, knowing to search the scriptures to see if it's so. So we will pass our program back over to our seer in Israel and keep that as a word of reference. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Harold, that was excellent. I definitely could have stand a little bit more time, but I'm looking at these memos, and, I got a memo saying, seer, do not call out. Please do not call out my camp. But you made a statement last night based upon how long do a mother have to teach her son? And my husband have passed. So what should I do? My son is 6 years old. Pretty good. And I got another memo saying this is coming from South Africa. My husband was a pastor, seer, and he passed. Is it more than right for me to take his place? That's another question you got on the table. Okay, that's come from South Africa. Okay, so we're going to take a look at some things. I don't know, we might touch on a little of that. Because one thing about it, we come on this network to edify those in all four corners of this globe. And if your husband owned a mega church and he have passed, is it more than right for me to take his place? Well, we'll address all that shortly. We'll see what the Bible say on that. And it's Cam saying, my husband and my son is 6 years old. What should I do now by my son being 6 years old? We'll address that too. We'll take a look at that because that looks very interesting. So we'll take a look at all that. But right now we're going to see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 130. We're going to see who will be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 130. So, the young lions, I see the young lions, and I see the mothers. And that's one thing about it. You know, and I want to touch on a little bit of that, too. I don't know. Everything got to be touched on. That's why we come on this broadcast, we come humble, and we let Yahweh lead the way. So let's see if we find out who's going to be on stage for episode 130. So when you meet the young lions with a loud voice, you say, Brother Makai Israel, tribe of Yahdah Jewish. Yahweh be just being right.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel. Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, there. Brother Micaiah. All right. Let's see, can we find another young lion roaring like the roaring and put a lot of bass in his voice. Let's see, can we find Brother Titus. Let's see if we get in that microphone with a lot of bass and address this massive audience over 500,000. Brother Titus, tribe of Yagdab Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Yahweh, I'll beat you that seat right here.
Yahweh, bless you. See you, Israel. Of Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like that bass you got there, Brother Titus. Hallelujah. Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of these mothers that's prepared to help the youngest understand they way to go. Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah, consistent on what way she stand in Yahweh. Mother E,
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, of see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. And Mother C. Mother C. The best part of this broadcast, we know Mother's not there or not, but the best part of this broadcast when Mother Z do address this mass notice. She'll do it later on in the broadcast. She said, okay, I'm getting my papers ready to see her. I'm getting what I need to address this over 500,000 plus later on. So just bypass it right now, and I'll be ready when it's time for me to be ready. That's a great thing. All right, Mother Z, we'll bring you in later and let you address this national audience on what the Almighty put on you to tell them. And I always study Mother D F Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Let me tell you something, Sarah. You know, I got too much time in this. I'm here, I'm not cameoing nothing. I'm in this to win it. And I want to lead by example. Excellent. That's how the mother taught. And she said, you know what? I got my eyes on the young lions. Of mothers watching them young lions, making sure they roar right. Mother dear of Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh bless you, right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of the Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother dear of Israel. What the stage is set, the curtain have went up, the box they have been lit. So we got a couple of memos on the table, especially out there in South Africa. My husband has passed, and we're going into a fight with the ministry based upon who's supposed to take his place. I am temporarily taking his place right now if I'm in the right. Well, we'll address that. And there's other memo saying my husband passed, and my son is 6 years old. We caught the message last night. What should I do now by having a six-year-old son and what you taught on last night? Would you talk on it a little bit more tonight? Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good, too. So let's see what we can get going on. Brother Titus, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Let's see. Can we see what Luke chapter 12, verse 12 says? Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
That was excellent. All right, Brother McCartney, same thing. Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. What can we read that, our fellow McCartney? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
So that's the way it is. Ain't nothing wrong with double portion of Luke 12:12, because we got some concerns on the network and the WCC saying, is you going to get back on prophecy? I tell you what we'll do. We'll get back on prophecy. We'll get back on everything as Yahweh gives to us. That's what we do. made a profound statement. I did make a note on something there. Brother Titus, he made a statement on something, and I want to just piggyback with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, and 15, what do that say that we can read? I want to piggyback on what the elder was talking about earlier. He mentioned something about someone have a tendency to take corn and flip it into one of the anointed camp's box. He made a statement about putting corn in the box. So, let's see exactly what Yahweh said behind that. And Paul was addressing Northern Kingdom pertaining to that in the 9th chapter, verse 6, 7, and 15. What did it say there, Brother Titus?
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, and verse 15. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6, read. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly should reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully should reap also bountifully. Verse 7, read. Every man according as he purposeth in his mind, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for Yahweh loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 15.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto Yahweh for his unspeakable gift.
And his unspeakable gift is nothing to brag about, because Yahweh already got his eyes on you. He know how he'll bless you, do what you got to do. It's up to you. But if you're going to stand there and flip quarters into the box, that's on you, between you and Yahweh. One thing we do know, if you store sparefully, look for the same thing to come back to you sparefully. One thing about it, we got a big job ahead of us, and we got to establish a lot of groundwork for what we got to do in Yahweh. We need our own radio station. The land is already before us. Land, school, banquet hall, to free our peoples in the mind. And that's why we street teaching now on the bottom part of Sabbath day, trying to wake up our people to understand one thing. The time is now. The Six Anointed Camps is coming at you now. But now, Brother Micaiah, I'm looking for a verse in Cordero made two statements. That was one of them. But in the book of Ezekiel, you know, Yahweh told Ezekiel to tell the children of Israel something he was going to do. Something he was going to do. Can you pull me out on what he said he was going to do? We don't know what he said he was going to do, but something he said that he going to turn, I don't care how much that you go forward, he going to turn the weapons back to stick yourself. You might be heading forward to take care of some business in Yahweh in a battle. He said, I'm going to fight against you. So that's over in the book of Ezekiel. So whoever can pull that verse out, I won't touch on that verse without a bag. Let me get me a Bible and see for it myself. Where he says he's going to turn the weapon back on the children of the book. He said, although you fight against the Chaldeans, but every time you go forward with your weapon, I'm gonna make that weapon stick you, because I'm mad at you. So now, do anybody want to help me out in that verse right there? Mother, anybody want to help me out in that verse right there? It's over in Ezekiel. Now, who gonna help me out in that verse? That
you say
the
turn about
of Israel will fight, Yahweh gonna fight against them. Now what can we read to that? Where can we read that I'm going to turn the weapons back
on the, weapon
on the children
back.
Of Israel? What verse can we read it in? Can anybody that's qualified to tell on Steve what that verse said that we can read, what he going to do when the children of Israel go into battle? Do you want to table it for right now and come back with it later? What you want to do? Table that verse and come back with it later? Because that's the verse I want right now.
Was that in Ezekiel, Brother Seal, or was that in Isaiah, this elder?
Yeah, it's in the book of Ezekiel. He's letting the children of Israel know. He had Ezekiel tell them, I'm going to fight against you. I'm going to turn the weapons back on you. Otherwise, you're not going to win no battle no more.
In Isaiah 54:17, you want me to read that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, El. Go ahead and read that, El.
Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will rebuke every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Yahuwah, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Yahuwah. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you.
I want to read where the weapon formed against you is going to tear you up. That's what I want. He says, although you go out to battle, every time you go, I'm going to have the weapons to back up and stick you. Instead of you sticking them, I'm going to have your same weapon stick you. And that's in the book of Ezekiel. I'll tell you about this. I will table that verse out of Ezekiel unless somebody going to bring that verse out. You can go to battle all you want, children of Israel. What he's saying to you is this. I'm going to turn the weapons back on you. And as you try to stick them, it's going to stick you. That's the verse I want right there. That takes care of what I'm on. But I'll tell you what. I'll table that verse. And if the Almighty want me to add that verse, I'll bring it back a little bit later. That's the verse I want right there. So we'll leave it like it is. We'll be thumbing around with it. We'll get down to some good stuff. And that give me a chance to get at that verse a little bit later. He says, I'm going to turn the weapons back on you, children of Israel, and I'm going to fight against you because y'all got me mad at you. So that's what I want. And I'm going to leave it like that, and we're going to go on and get off into what these concerns of these members on, especially about. We'll start with the young lady saying, my husband has passed. My son is 6 years old. What should I do now? Well, let's find out. We open up with Brother Titus. Hey, Brother Titus, let's see if we can take care of a little bit of this. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 11, 1 through 4, 12 and 13. And Brother Micaiah, have me 2 book of Maccabees chapter 7, verse 20. Down to verse number 35. And Mother E had me 36-42 waiting on me. 36-42. So we're going to open up. We're going to try to address the young lady saying, do not call what camp I'm in and what minister I'm in, sir. I just want to know, my husband has passed and I have a 6-year-old son. What should I do now? All right, let's address that. 2 Kings 11, 1 through 4, 12 and 13. Brother Titus, open up right there. Come on.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Skip down verse 12 through 13. 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse 1 reads. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Verse 2 reads, But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahijah, took Joash, the son of Ahijah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which was slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Verse 3 reads, And he was with her, hid in the temple of Yahweh 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. Verse 4 reads, and in 7 years, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over 100 with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him in the temple of Yahweh to make a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the temple of Yahweh and showed him the king's sons. Get down verse 12 and 13. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, the covenant. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, Yahweh, save the king. Verse 13. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people and to the temple of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So when Athaliah heard all that good stuff going on, but she thought she had got rid of all of that bloodline of Steve Royer, and so she found out that that didn't happen. One more was left. But so, Brother Titus, so according to what we read so far, the seer went a fest the young man from his mother and his nurse. How long did his mother have influence over him? How long did his nurse have influence on him? And what happened that we can understand what happened? Can you break down what really happened here? How much influence is on the table? Come on.
Okay, so the nurse, so we read here, she was with the her son. So it tell you in verse 3 that she was she had to do her part in 6 years. In verse 3, then okay, in verse 4, so in the 7 years, so it was out of her hands in the 7 years. So she, so after that, so he had to go to the fine leadership, the ministry, going to the temple with him that 7 years, the temple of Yahweh.
Okay. Okay. That's excellent. I can live with that. So the mother, the nurse, got 6 years to educate the male. And on the 7th year, she have to turn that baby over to the ministry. Meaning, like in case in point, that means that whether the baby have to be up under that kind of leadership, and then once he bring back whatever information he got, he be explained to his mother what he did learn. Now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So,
good economics. When he completes a mission, she will train her offspring in early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Understanding is the best thing. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in the breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship. In her natural uncivilized state, she would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male. She would have a limited protection tendency towards her independent male offspring and would raise the female offspring to be dependent like her. Nature will provide for this type of balance. Now, we reverse nature by burning and pulling one civilized nigga apart and bull whipping the other to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal causes her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. So in this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reverse roles. For fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Because she has become psychologically independent, she will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You've got the nigger woman out front and the man behind, scared. This is a perfect situation for sound sleep and economics.
So, what we gonna find out? See, that's one thing we gotta realize. I'm saying something. This is no accident that 17 nations understand this thing. Once you do not have the male presence there in a relationship, and if something tragedy happened to that male, to that man, then you stuff and you don't know what to do. Like the young lady got this memo saying, what should she do by having a 60-year-old son? Well, you got to get your son now to one of the six anointed camps there at Jacquard. Once he turned 7 years old, you have to get that son up. That means your influence should not be on that son from 7 years old on up. Because then the ministry would teach that son how to respect offspring of, you know, respect life itself. But they only a male can do that. If you continue to teach your son after he turns 7 years old, exactly what we just got through here, he'll be mentally weak. Physically, he's going to be strong. Now, how you know when they are mentally weak? The average young teenager will be emotional, and they'll be effeminate, meaning they start to talk out of turn. They'll get excited. They'll start crying. They'll shoot you quicker than anybody because they have taken on the characteristics of the mother, you know. So they will do some damage to you and don't know why, because they was never told how to hold it and just don't blot out things. So there's a lot in having the male presence, especially when you got a young male after you turn 7 years old. You must get into where he can be taught how to be mentally strong. But he automatically going to be physically strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's supposed to know his role and not just to just be out there hanging around the wrong crowd, looking at a person by appearance only. Not knowing that you have to go back into to understand what kind of woman you should be with. All that, but that plays a part into being into the right ministry after the male has passed. The man must be a Yahwali man. He must be put in the Yahwali ministry, and then they will show him that just don't abuse you being a male, how to, and another thing you look for in your child, if they get excited, they start crying. If you make them mad, they'll start crying. That means they'll tuck on the nature of their mother. They get excited, they'll say things out of context of, I don't care about that. I don't care. You know, why is this going on like this? because they don't took the characteristics of their mother. And you were telling them they always will be behind their mother, holding on to their leg and everything else. But they be throwing a kick off back of a bus. So it's lost up into this. That's why we got to come now and teach. Because we understand the world know one thing. If you destroy the male image and let the woman raise the male, knowing that's contrary to Yahweh's word. So we'll talk about all that. So we're going to go and get a case in point now to address the young lady that want me to call her camp out about her husband and past. What should I do with my six-year-old son? Okay, we're going to go and get a case in point by Brother Micaiah in 2nd Book of Maccabees, chapter 7. And we'll look at verse 20 down to verse 35. And Mother E. have me 36 to 42 waiting on me. 36 to 42. So, Brother Micaiah, what can we read in 2nd Maccabees, chapter 7? I think we're verse 20 to 35. You're on the clock, come on.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 20 down to 35. Verse 20 reads, "But the mother was marvelous above all and worthy of honorable memory. But when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of one day, she buried with a good courage because of the hope that she had in Yahuwah." Verse 21, "Yet she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirit, and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach. She said unto them," 22, "I cannot tell how you came into my womb, for I neither gave you breath nor life. Neither was it I that formed the members of every one of you." Verse 23. "But doubtless the creator of the world, who formed the generation of man and found out the beginning of all things, will also of his own mercy give you breath and life again, as you now regard not your own selves for his law's sake." 24. Now Antioch, thinking himself despised and suspecting it to be a reproachful speech, while the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with oaths that he would make him both a rich and a happy man if he would turn from the laws of his father, and that also he would take him for his friend and trust him with affairs. Verse 25, "But when the young man would in no case hearken unto him, the king called his mother and exhorted her that she would counsel the young man to save his life." Verse 26, "And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised him that she would counsel her son." Verse 27, "But she bowing herself towards him, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, spake in her country language on this matter, 'O my son, have pity upon me that bear you 9 months in my womb, and give you suck 3 years, and nourish you, and brought you up into this age, and endure the troubles of education.'" Verse 28, "I beseech you, my son, look upon the heaven and the earth and all that is therein, and consider that Yahweh made them of things that were not. And so was mankind made likewise." Verse 29, "Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brother, take your death, that I may receive you again in mercy with your brother." Verse 30, "While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, 'Whom wait you for? I will not obey the king's command, but I will obey the commandment of the law that was given unto our fathers by Moses. Verse 31, and you that has been the author of mischief against the Israelites should not escape the hands of Yahuwah. 32, for we suffer because of our sins. 33, and so the living Yahuwah be angry with us a little while for our testimony and correction, yet shall he be at one again with his servants. 34, but you, O Yahuwah, less man, and of all other most wicked, be not lifted up without a cause, nor puffed up with uncertain hopes, lifting up your hand against the servants of Yahuwah. Verse 35, for you have not yet escaped the judgment of Almighty Yahuwah, who sees all things.
That's big talk. Now you hear that mother. That mother of them had seven sons. Mm-hmm. And the mother of the seven sons said what in verse 29? 7:29 and 32. What did the mother say in 7:29 and 32?
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 29 and verse 32. Verse 29 reads, fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brother, take your death, that I may receive you again in mercy with your brother. Verse 32, for we suffer because of our sins.
Ain't that something? You hear that mother say? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
How many mothers you know today even think anywhere like that? Oh, you got my boy. Mm. What can I do? Oh, my goodness. See?
Mm.
Now, you see, so you see how when you're dealing with this Bible, this is a big subject. Now, what mother would tell a son of 7:29 when it comes down to Yahuwah's business? That's why it's so important to know the order. Because you all going to be on the clock on one way or another. The mother told her son, take your death, for I can receive you again.
Hallelujah.
Now, I got to pull a rabbit out of that with that with mother. I got to pull a rabbit out of that. Oh, you read where you at, mother. I got to pull a rabbit out of that behind that. Now, what is she saying? She's now in the book of Hebrews, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see what's going on, because we all gonna be on the clock one day, and we gonna have to make a Bible decision. And if you don't make the Bible decision, you make the worldly decision, and you out of order with Yahuwah, you gonna see the order of being out of order in Yahuwah. So we're going to take out a little bit of that. We want to ask that these questions on the table. So now, in the book of Hebrews there, Mother, D.F. Israel, I need a precept on that to see if anybody else was in that situation and how he established himself in that situation. Let's see what you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Mother, D.F. Israel. Let's look at verse number 24 and 25. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 24-25. Listen to this. Come on.
Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahuwah than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season.
You hear that? So you see? So Moses could be the next Pharaoh, but he made a decision to choose rather to have pleasure for a season to get with his people called the children of Israel. Now you see that? There go your precept. Excellent. Now, Mother E, pick up at verse 36 down to verse 42, come on. Mother E, verse 36 down to verse 42, come on.
Book of Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 36 to 42. Verse 36. For thus have not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty Yahweh, who seeth all things. Verse 36. For our brethren, who now have suffered a sharp pain, are dead under Yahweh's covenant of everlasting life. But thou, through the judgment of Yahweh, shall receive just punishment for your pride. Verse 37. But I, as my brethren, offer up my body and life for this love of our Father, beseeching Yahweh that he would speedily be merciful unto our nation, and that thou be committed and pledged, may confess that that he alone is Yahweh. Verse 38. And that in me and my brethren, the wrath of the Almighty, which is just, brought upon all our nation, may see. 39. Then the king, being in a rage, handled him worse than all the rest, and took it grievous that he was mocked. Was forward. So this man did undefiled and put his whole trust in the Yahweh. Verse 31. Last of all, after the son, the mother died. 32. Let this be enough now to have spoken concerning the calculator. And the extreme torture.
He said, let this understanding be example to you, because we're going to read later on, maybe not in this lesson, I don't know, that you will be on the clock. Is you going to make a Bible decision, or is you going to make an emotion decision? Because every servant of Yahweh will have to make a Bible decision, but the majority will make an emotional decision. Now, Brother Titus, give me a Titus chapter, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, 12 through 14. And Mother D of Israel, help me, because for that Maccabee, for that woman to understand that she was on the clock, that had to come from somewhere. And we going and digress to see where did that come from in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 9 through 12, 17 through 20, and 22 down to verse 28. Mother D of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 9 through 12, get down to 17 through 20, and 22 through 28. Now, Brother Titus, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 12 through 14, Brother Titus, take your time and bring some of that old bass. You sound great when you're bassing it out. Come on.
Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Get down to verse 12 to 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 reads, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Get down, verse 12 to 14 reads, yea, in all that we have lived Yahweh, and Yahweh the Son shall suffer persecution. Verse 13 reads, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14 reads, but continue you in the things which you have learned, and has been assured of knowing of whom you have learned them.
Mm-hmm. He said, now you got to continue on where you have learned these from, and the voice of a true Israelite, the sitting on the camp, is to show you soundly. You will be on the clock. If you going to do Yahweh's business, you shall suffer persecution. It ain't no way of getting around it. So we're going to take care of that a little bit later on that information. So this is not a cakewalk. You will be on the clock. It's just what decision will you make? Would you make a Bible decision or would you make an emotional decision? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, you got them some come and say, I'm going to take your babies. But you tell me something. Don't take my babies. Don't take my babies. See that? So that be
right.
Your kryptonite to understand that mm-hmm. you on the clock now. What mm-hmm. you going to do when they say, we're going to take your babies?
Mm-hmm.
What did the mother say again? Go back, Brother Mackay, go back to 2 Maccabees. 7:29. Let's see what the Bible says is supposed to happen when you on the clock.
The book is back in Maccabees.
Oh, I know you had. Yeah. 7:29. What it say?
The book is back in Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 29. 29 reads, fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brother, take your death, that I may receive you again in mercy with your brother.
Now we read that she had a woman's perspective, but a manly stomach, because she was trained right by her past husband. She was trained right, so she knew when it's come up what to do. She had to make a Bible decision and watched her seven sons all lose their life and told them, take your death, but I can receive you when Yahweh raises up. Now, if you don't take it and you go for the pleasure for the season, and this was the most of us at right now. We don't know what the Bible's saying, and we'll make an emotional statement, which is contrary to Yahweh. So you read it for yourself. So now this big camp with this young lady in it with a 6-year-old son, you heard a little bit, you'll hear some more. Now we're going to a mother dear of Israel. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 1, because they had to pull it from somewhere. There's nowhere she could have made that statement pertaining to son, take your death. It's something she had to have been read from her 37 verse 12, the Yahwali man. So she had to have something to work with. We're going to do a little investigation now. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, skip down to 17 through 20, and 22 down to verse 28. Mother, D.F. Israel, you're on the clock. Come on.
1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. 17 to 20. Yeah.
Then 22 to 28.
1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drank. Now Eli the set up on a seat by a post of the temple of Yahweh. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto Yahweh and wept sore. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look up on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before Yahweh, that Eli marked her mouth. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and Yahweh of Israel grant you your petition that thou hast asked of him. Verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find mercy, grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Verse 19. And they arose up in the morning early and worshiped before Yahweh, and returned and came to their house, to Ray mm-hmm. And I can't think. I can't pronounce that. E. No, knowing Hannah, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. Verse 20. Therefore, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Yahweh. Verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh and there abide forever. Okay.
Let's find out in 11 verse 3, how long was that weaning going on? So she weaned him. So now let's find out how long was that weaning going on. See, right now, mothers wean their child in 1.5 years now. Let's go find out about this. She weaned that child before she. So let's come back to verse number 3 and find out how long was that weaning going on. Second Kings 11:3.
The book of 2 Kings 11:3 reads, and he was with her, hid in the temple of Yahweh 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land.
Right. Yeah, next verse.
Verse 4.
Yeah, next verse.
And verse 4 reads, in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over 100 with the captains and the guards.
Stop it there. So now who can tell me how long did Hannah wean that child and then she passed that child on? Could anybody out of the 6 anointed camp tell me how long that you supposed to hold on to that child, weaning him before you have to get him up? Now, can anybody help me out? Well, mother just got through reading over here in 1 Samuel. She said, I'm not going to bring the child up until I finish weaning. So how long did you wean that child?
Go ahead.
Who want to answer that question? You just got through reading it in verse 3. You just got through reading in verse 3. All these will come up on you. I'm telling you, when we tell you now, all of them put on you one day, and you got to respond more quicker than what you're doing. We just got through reading. 6 years was the weaning, 7 years you gave up. That's the point I want to hit right away.
Right.
6 years was to win and 7 years to game up. So now we can paint that picture back in Samuel chapter 1, verse 22 again. Now come on back there, mother. D.F. Israel, verse 22. So 6 years she's on the wean and 7 years she gave up, the male child. But now watch what happens in it on the most. Come on, read verse 22, verse
28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22 to 28. Verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh, and thereby forever. Verse 23.
Hold that point. Now, so how long was the weaning? 6 years. How long was she gave up? Once she was 7 years old. Y'all got it? Good. Yeah. Keep them up to going read.
23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems you good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only Yahweh established his word. So the woman abided and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the temple of Yahweh in Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. 26. And she said, O my Yahweh, as thy soul liveth, my Yahweh, I am a woman that stood by you here praying unto Yahweh. 27. For this child I prayed, and Yahweh has given me my petition, which I asked of him. 28. Therefore also I have lent him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to Yahweh, and he worshiped Yahweh there. And she worshiped Yahweh.
You see that?
And he
worshiped. So you see what she did? She said, look here, I knew what I said, but I knew around 7 years old, that young man that I had, it goes to Yahweh. And then Yahweh took it from that point on. So that's the same thing. Now go back and read a come back to read again 2 Kings 11, verse 4. So you see, the Eli the seer was waiting till the weaning power was over. And when that young child got 7 years old, Eli was right there waiting. He was waiting on that child. So now we can go back and see exactly what was going on in the King's book, what the seer was waiting on, in the 11th verse number 4. So now you should be painting the picture. See, everybody do the Bible, and when you do the Bible, you will come out right. But when you do your own feelings, it will never come out right. So now we can read what the seer was doing in the 2 Kings. All he was doing was following the same thing he knew by reading the book of Samuel. How long I supposed to wait for this child, and the seer supposed to put his hand on that child and turn him over to anointed leadership. So there it is right there. So now we're getting ready to read exactly what was going on in 2 Kings 11, verse 4. Brother Titus.
Book of 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse 4 reads, "In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers, over 100, with the captain and the guard, and brought them to him in the temple of Yahweh, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the temple of Yahweh, and showed them the king's
See how you paint that picture. That's good. So they're going to picture paint it. So now we know the timeline, what was going on, what was going on, and they got it from the book of Samuel showing that Eli was waiting to that young son turn 7 years old in the field, and she said, here it is. But watch how Yahweh operates. When you do Yahweh's business, watch how he operates. Come on back, Brother Titus. Brother Titus, come on back and pick it up at 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18-21 and verse 26. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18-21 and verse 26. Now, see, we're trying to paint a picture. See, if we make Bible decisions, we're going to show you what Yahweh is going to do. As long as you continue to make the emotional decisions on your life and everything around you, Yahweh is going to sit there and Mother East. And Hosea 5:15, what Yahweh going to do? Hosea 5:15.
Okay.
Hey, Mother East, 5. Yeah, Hosea 5:15. What Yahweh going to do that we can read?
Okay, let me get this scripture. Hosea 5:15. The book of Hosea, chapter 5:15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face and their affliction. They will seek me early.
So he's just going to watch it. So Yahweh just going to sit there and watch it. Through the ministry spirit, he's going to watch it. He going to see if you're going to make a Bible decision or you going to make a fleshly decision. That's all he's going to do. He's just going to watch you. Now back up to Isaiah 18, verse 4. Hey, Mother E, back up to Isaiah 18, verse 4. So Yahweh said, I'm just going to watch you. He said, I'm going to put you, I'm going to find out what is your kryptonite. What you love the most, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to see what you do. Would you make it a Bible decision, or would you make a worldly decision and remain the way we are today? See, and that same thing is the job of the seer. I got to watch you and see what you do when the kryptonite is in your lap. Isaiah 18, verse 4. Bring it, Mother E.
Isaiah chapter 18, verse 4. For so the Yahweh said unto me, I will take my rest. And I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon her and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest.
You see it? You see, I'm just going to sit there and watch you again. I'm just going to watch it. I'm just going to see what you do. He said, I'm going to watch you. Would you make a Bible decision or would you make a world decision? I'm going to watch you. Just peep at you. Huh? See that? That's the point we're making. We're going to take you a lot of this on the way of taking care of some stuff. Now, did you read, did you read that 2, 18 to 21 and 26 already?
No, sir. I'm there now. About
right,
to read it now,
it
sir. First Samuel chapter 2,
bring it to
verse 18 to 21 and 26. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 reads, But Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Verse 19, Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice. Verse 20, But Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, Yahweh give you seed of this woman for a law, which is meant to Yahweh. And they went into their own home. Verse 21. And Yahweh visited Hananiah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before Yahweh. Verse 26.
You see what Yahweh did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that? What Yahweh did, okay, he took the Samuel, because he knew he had something for Samuel, but they understood that she's been going through everything to have it, but she knew that when that son turned 7 years old, her petition is, what she going to do? She had to do it anyway. She gave it to the seer. And Yahweh seen that she gave up her, that was her kryptonite. And Yahweh seen her and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now y'all been fumbling around. I'm going to give you three more boys and two girls. You see that? So you see Yahweh, mm-hmm. He's in the multiplying business when he look at you.
And we Yahweh?
You got him right. If you got him right, you step in. Long as you keep making these body decision on the flesh, Yahweh just going to sit there and watch you, like you said, 18 verse 4. He going to watch you. He going to look at you. You on the clock and the decision you making, it's not, you can read. You ain't taking your role that you can read. You doing all your emotional thing. So I'm going to watch you from an emotional point until you realize that his Bible tell you exactly what to do to get me right. Then he says, Mother E, he makes a claim, Mother E, in First John chapter 20 on the right side of the book, chapter 3, verse 22. Then he makes a claim. See, when Yahweh look at the record when you're running your mouth, he be asking the Middle Spirit, what's the record on this person with the mouth going? If that person is a First John 3:22 or not. What it say? Hey, Mother, what it say?
Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his Torah instruction and do those things that are pleasing in his Christ.
You see what he's saying? Now remember, by this psalm was given to Eli the seer. And it was read, he put this boy right away off his fringes, put him in a garment and all that good stuff. See,
Yahweh
put him off in fringes and garments, no razor coming to his head. The average woman raised a baby. You know what they do? That baby reflects his mama. He got a smooth face and a collegian haircut and no fringes on.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my baby. Average woman whoop a child, a man child. Do not tell him nothing about no fringes because they don't know. Nothing about no facial hair because they're watching the mama. Mama don't grow no facial hair. Don't put a razor to the head and put their garment on. That's the first thing in their mind because they in the wrong leadership of understanding Yahweh's business. See, you got to follow Yahweh to get the blessing of Yahweh. You got to follow what he got on the table. And that's why we read earlier about the world know exactly how to get you. They know to destroy the male today, just move the males out the way, and the woman gonna tell you, well, you see what happened to my man, so I want you to be like that. Don't say nothing. Be quiet. Be good. See, be strong as an ox, but mentally broken. Because you got some man today, all you got to do is put him in a tie and he'll start squealing like a woman. You mess around getting upset, he gets so angry, he start crying. You see? That's because you've been raised by your mama. You didn't get what Yahweh told you to do. And then, see, by being among anointed, six anointed camps of boys over to his life, we're going to look at this male and see what we could be helping at to get him on his feet and show him how to respect the young girls and don't be trying to grab everyone you get your hand on waiting to a Yahwali girl, and that's why the mother, biggest thing that she don't do is got to get them young girls properly prepared for that Yahwali man. Because everybody out of order. So we go look up. So we got a lot of work to do. That's why I say this camp got to wake up. Y'all got to wake up. Because we got a big job ahead of us to get in order for Yahwah to intervene. He ain't going to intervene. I do even put all the land before us. You know the land is all before us, north, east, south, west. We got to make sure we grab it all, because what we trying to do and what we're going to do is build our nation with the understanding, street teaching, and everything else. So if you're going to contribute to a ministry, contribute to this ministry to help your offspring to come, to have an example of what the point is on how to be a Yahwali little girl, little boy. Not try to grab everyone you got your hand on. We take care of that business. That's if you understand this ministry is to show you exactly. So it's no accident. Now, we're going a little further. Now, Brother Makai, let's go, let's move a little further at that. Because we got a big job ahead of us, but we got to get in order. We go on to the third chapter. And we're looking at verse 1 through 20, Brother Makai. We go on the book of Samuel, chapter 3, 1 through 20. This is real good.
Chapter 2, verse 26. Thank you, there, Brother D.F. Israel. Chapter 2, verse 26 reads, "And the child Samuel grew up and was in favor both with Yahweh and also with man."
So the hand was Yahweh was on that. As Samuel grew, was growing up, he was in favor with Yahweh and with man.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to tell you something about Samuel right now. So see, we've been able to see some things from the pages of the book. Watch Brother Makai bring the home run in 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 20. Come on, Brother Makai, what you got? Come on.
Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Verse 1 reads, "And the child Samuel ministered unto Yahweh before Eli. And the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. There was no open business." Verse 2, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Verse 3, "And ere the lamp of Yahweh went out in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of Yahweh was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Verse 4, "Then Yahweh called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Verse 5, "And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for you call me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down." Verse 6, "And Yahweh called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for you did call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lay down again." Verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, neither was the word of Yahweh yet revealed unto him." Verse 8, "And Yahweh called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I." And, hold on. "Here am I, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that Yahweh had called the child. Verse 9, Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, Speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, "And Yahweh came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant here. Verse 11.
Hold that part right there. Now, wait a minute. So what is Samuel doing? He's obeying. Who is he obeying? Leadership. Samuel obeyed leadership. Now I want to get a case in point. See, when you in order with Yahweh, now here you go a case in point out of one of the six anointed camps, and I can call which one it were. Mother raising a child. Her child, less than 6 years old, cursed out one of the anointed camps. One of the anointed members said to the sister, your son just cursed me out. Well, I didn't hear it. You see that? So you see, that just said, then and there, you out of order with that child. Regardless of whether you hear it or not, when leadership tell you what your boy or did, you're supposed to respond and see that then and there, you out of order. But your pride is so up, you said, well, I didn't hear the young man curse. I didn't hear my boy curse. So that's the end of that. See that? We're not going to call out what camp it was. But the camp here in Grand South, that lets you know that when that spirit is on somebody, you're losing your blessing by not following. Well, I didn't hear him curse.
Yeah, it was.
So what? If the male, if anointed leadership said that's what he did, that's the end of it. See what Samuel did? He had the respect Samuel had for those here. He followed instruction. He told him what to do. And guess what? Now, he got instruction what to do. Next time this boys come to him, you're supposed to say, here am I. Here am I. Okay, good. So now let's come on back to verse 10. 3:10 again there, Brother Micaiah. 3:10 again.
Okay, the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and Yahweh came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel. Then Samuel asked, for your servant here. Verse 11. And Yahweh said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. Verse 12. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the sin which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Verse 14. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the sin of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the temple of Yahweh. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. Verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that Yahweh has said to you? I pray, hide it not from me. Yahweh do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto you. Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is Yahweh. Let him do what seemeth him good. Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Verse 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a seer of Yahweh.
Hey, Samuel. You see what Yahweh did? So he knew Samuel, Eli, had some boys. And his boys was not going to play it straight up. Because that was Eli's kryptonite, his son. He said, my boys, why you do what y'all do? But Yahweh told him, hey, look here. Hey, Samuel. Hey, Eli. You got to be even hand on this thing, whether you're a family member or not. You got to call the way I tell you to call it. So since he didn't do it, he had Hannah to Maeve's attention. She turned the ball over 7 years old, and Sam, listen, see that? Now Samuel in place to take care of Eli, the seer, because his kryptonite was his son. Don't let nothing be your kryptonite if it's caused you to transgress against Yahweh. Don't let nothing be your kryptonite. Got it? Good. Good point there. Now, Mother E, what is said that we can read in 1 Samuel 7:15? 1 Samuel. Now let me show you what Yahweh had for old Samuel that we can read in 1 Samuel 7:15. What can we read that, Mother E?
Okay. The book of 1 Samuel 7:15. 1 Samuel 7:15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
So Samuel judged Israel how long?
All the days of his life.
All the days of his life. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. 1 Samuel 8:7. What it says in 8:7.
1 Samuel 8:7. 1 Samuel 8:7. And the Yahweh said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
So, that's good. That's it. That's all I want. Now, who is Yahweh talking to, our mother? Who is Yahweh is talking eyeball with?
Samuel.
Now back up to Numbers 27:15-17. Back up to Numbers 27:15-17. Mother.
27.
And Mother D of Israel.
17.
Mother D of Israel, help me 1 Samuel 9:6-10, 15:18-19-27. Mother D of Israel. 1 Samuel 9:6-10. Skip down to 15:18-19-27. Now, Mother, what are you getting ready to read out of Numbers 27:15-17? Listen to this.
Numbers 27:15-17. And Moses speak unto Yahweh. And Moses speak unto the Yahweh, saying, let the Yahweh of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
So Mother E, if the man do not lead the congregation, what happened to the ministry that you can read? What happened to Yahweh's ministry that you can read?
If the man do not lead the congregation.
Yes. What is it like? He gave a comparison. If the man is not leading the congregation, or if the man not leading his household, he gave an analogy of exactly what it's like. Now, what part are you going to pull out that we is nationally going to hear?
Okay. So if the man is not leading the congregation, the sheep is without shepherd.
The congregation is without a shepherd.
That's the sheep. For the congregation of Yahweh, be not as sheep, which have no shepherd.
That's right, Mother. Sheep with no shepherd.
So if the man is not running the congregation, it's just like what?
As a sheep with no shepherd.
A sheep with no shepherd. Now imagine how long a sheep lasts with no shepherd. So if the man is not running his household, if the man is not running the congregation, he compared it to the sheep having no shepherd. So anytime a woman will put herself in a position like that, in the eyes of Yahweh, is like a sheep having no shepherd. Is that what we're reading?
We read.
Now I got to precept that a little bit. And we found out plainly, Mother E. I know you're holding something from me, our Mother D up there, but I got to precept something. Please ask you the regular book there, Mother. Mother E. In the regular book of Ecclesiastes, I got to precept something. And let's see what we got to precept. So if you ever see, you go into a place where a woman is running a congregation, where men's at. A woman only got 6 years to deal with a man, period, mentally. She has to turn him over after he's 7 years old. So how would a woman even put herself in a position to try to be over a congregation with a man sitting there? It's like a sheep with no shepherd. Mm-hmm. You only got 6 years with your natural baby. So how would you even have your mouth even fixed? Talk about I'm gonna leave where men's at. You ain't got but 6 years to leave your own child. That's amazing. You only got 6 years to do that. So how are you gonna turn right around now and say you gonna run a congregation where men's at? That means you are ignored any of this Bible, and that's why we not blessed as a people today, because we follow no orders in the Bible. And that's why we in condition we're in today as a nation, because we out of order, and he's watching us stand. Y'all out of order. I'm not intervening if the scripture is not performed when you on the clock. Now, in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, that mother, in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, I don't want to give me one statement out of that. One statement out of the regular book of Ecclesiastes. Let's see what it says in chapter 1. Chapter 1, it says 1:9. What do 1:9 say?
Look at Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
So it ain't no new thing. If you want to know what to do, you got to go back and give me a verse in Jeremiah. Give me a verse. You gonna give me a verse in Jeremiah? You got to go back to Jeremiah chapter 4, and you got to. This is what you got to do to get Yahweh right. You got to go back to Jeremiah chapter 4. And y'all hear me out. You got to go back to Jeremiah chapter, make that 6, Mother. You got to go back to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 16. You got to listen. If you're in a type, in a ministry, it ain't no new thing up out in the sun. You got to go back and look at what's said in verse 16. Read that, Mother E. Jeremiah 6:16.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 16. Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 6.
Verse 16.
Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 reads, "Thus said the Yahweh, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old path, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul, yourself. But they said, we will not walk therein."
Thank you, sir. Now, wouldn't the Yahweh raise Jeremiah from the womb to tell you if you're going to make a decision, what are you supposed to do when you're going to make a decision for Yahweh to intervene with what you got to ask for?
The old path.
Who can help me out? The what?
Old path.
The what?
Old path.
Yeah, that's for the old path. Because there ain't nothing new upon the sun, so you don't look for to make a new decision, and he already got a rhythm on what decision to make. The old path. And when you find the answer, walk that in. And you seen all the blessings came when you walk that in? All these blessings came. So when you hear somebody say about something new, you say, wait a minute. It ain't new. There's nothing new about the town. So if you hear anything come up new, well, Brother Titus going to bring with some bait. We're going to catch it red-handed. Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12. So when we catch something that's coming up, you're going to be able to catch it then and there. You can tell without you open your mouth what's been happening up in this ministry. Now listen, we got written in Isaiah 3:12.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12 reads, "As for my people, children are their oppressor, and women rule over them. O my people, that which lead you calls you to error and destroys the way of your path."
Ain't that something? So when you see these things going on, the children and the woman rule over the man, do you understand that's not asking for the old way? That's a new thing. That's a new thing that you are letting Satan intervene with your reason to understand it because you grow. That's out of order. A woman leading a congregation where men's at, that is out of the order of Yahweh. The woman only got 6 years, and in 7 years she got turned from school over at 7 years old. Why in the world she's not going to run a ministry for grown men to sit up in there? That's a recipe for saying the devil all day long. But that's not actually the old path. We already read the old path on take 130, how to get Yahweh to intervene to give you the double, the triple. You see what Hannah got? She got 3 boys and 2 daughters behind what she did. Y'all got to catch some of this stuff in here. Because when they start inviting you out the place to go, and you find out the leadership of a woman is running men, that's out of order. I got to turn around and go. Satan the devil. Her mind might be thinking that way, according to Scripture. Now, let's go to Jeremiah, Brother Titus. We're going to Jeremiah 31, 22 and 23. Now, when you hear things, you're supposed to catch it then and there. Jeremiah 31, 22, 23. Listen good.
We go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 22 and 23. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long will you go about, O you backsliding daughter? For Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall surpass the man. Verse 30. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, as yet they should use this speech in the land of Yada and the city thereof. When
hold
I should bring...
Hold, hold, hold on, hold on, hold on now, young man. Read verse 22 and 23 with a little more bass and take your time and make it plain. Jeremiah 31, verse 22 and 23. Read a little bit more bass there, young line, for this over 500,000 plus on the international side. One more time.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22. How long will you go about, O you backsliding daughter? For Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Verse 23 reads, thus said Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, as yet they should use this speech in the land of Yada and the city thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yahweh bless you, O habitation of justice. Yes. And more, and the mountain of righteousness.
Well, hold on, Titus. Make sure you got some ears. Listen to me now. So now, he told Jeremiah that Yahweh was going to do a new thing. Yahweh said, ain't nothing new upon the sun. So he's saying a new thing is going to happen. Jeremiah, do you know up the road it's going to be women that going to surpass a man?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah saying, what? Is there no new thing up under the sun? Yeah. He said, a woman going to think she's supposed to lead men.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mindset they're going to have in time to come. What time is that right now? That time is now.
Mm-hmm.
Women think now they're supposed to lead men.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on right now. Women think they're supposed to lead men.
Mm-hmm.
Women do not supposed to lead men if she only got 6 years with a natural born son. So she got to turn them over at seven.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to run a congregation where men are sitting there? You know what that is? We're going to preach that and find out what that really is. We go on to Acts 16:16-18. What's really going on? Let's go read it. Let's read what we can read, Brother Titus. We go on to Acts chapter 16, verse 16-18. See, when you see this thing going on, if a woman even have a mindset of leaving men, you out of order everywhere. You ain't got 6 years with your own natural born son. How now you going to leave men in a congregation? Do you know what that is? That's a recipe for Satan the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 16:16-18, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16-18. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 reads, and it comes to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masses much gain by soothsaying. Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us in Christ, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High Yahweh, which showed unto us the way of salvation. Verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Yahweh the Son to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
What was in this woman? What was in her? According to verse 16, what was in her?
Spirit of death.
Oh, she was a spirit of divination. A spirit of divination.
She had the devil in her. If she thinks mm-hmm. she can get in the congregation around the mouth, that's the devil in her. Do you understand that? That's the devil in you.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you is present and a woman got her mouth going, that's the devil in you. It is that devil. So you got to recognize the man is present, the woman got the mouth going, that's the devil on her. It's simple as that. It's right there, 16 through 18. So mm-hmm. you walk in the place and you see the man is present and the woman got her mouth going, that's the devil on her. He was ready at 16 through 18.
That's it.
You ain't got to say a word. Look at the Bible. The devil on you.
Mm-hmm.
How's your mouth going and your better half is present? Your mouth don't even be moved unless he asks you, unless he tell you to speak. You're going to be quiet.
Right.
And Paul said, when he recognized that spirit, he said, what? In verse 18, what did Paul say?
Acts chapter 16, verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Yahweh to come out of her. And she came out the same hour.
Paul recognized her right away. That's the devil on you. But she had a mouth going. Look, now read verse 16. What was she doing in verse 16? What was she doing?
Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain devil possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Got a mouth going.
She had a mouth going. He went to the temple and she had her mouth going.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought her master a much gain by having her mouth going. But Paul said, woman, you got the devil in you. Shut your mouth and sit down somewhere. And devil come up out of her. Did you see that? It's your devil. So you got to recognize right. the devil on these women. You got a big fat mouth going when the man is present. And when men is present, your mouth do not supposed to be gone unless you is asked to speak or told to speak. Now you're in the will of Yahweh. Now you got time for a blessing. See, this ministry got to be taught. Now, if this ministry taught, Yahweh going to intervene. But as long as the ministry that we feeling good is be taught, we going to still be in the predicament we're in right now. That's why Yahweh put all that land before us. The system staying in order now. But we can't stay in order if you don't want to do no Bible. You got to do some Bible. What's going to be your kryptonite? Is you going to do Bible? Or you just going to continue to be where Yahweh looking down on us as we fade away in the sunset? Or are we going to do Bible? It's up to you. You do Bible. Now, we'll pause for right now. We'll bring our elder back in with final statement, and we'll bring the mother Z in, and she'll address this national audience of 500,000 plus. We'll address this national audience. So like I said, again, the question's on the table from this big ministry. My husband on passed, and I got a 60-year-old boy, and I caught the lesson yesterday. What should I do? What you got to do is you got to take that young boy into a ministry. Well, they teach us there as Yahweh, and we'll show them how to be a Yahweh man. But your influence stops when you wing him. Your influence stops. Because if your influence continue on, you're going to set that boy back. You want that boy emotional and feminine. And he's subject to shoot anybody, stab anybody, because you have no reason. A woman is very emotional. And if a young man is raised around his mother and find out and watch his mother emotional, loud mouth, big black mouth going, it's going to be the same way. That's why you see Samuel was with Eli the seer, and when Samuel told him how to move, he rolled that way. He put him in the garment, he put his fringes on him. Got him going good, but he was always from Yahweh to get the pass to take care of Samuel. Eli was going to have a kryptonite problem with his boy. Look at it, man. You can't teach this unless you live it. You got your songs out of order. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your songs. I'm going to kill you. And old Sammy going to be right there, been trained by you to take your place all the way in. You see that? See how y'all operate? So you always got somebody in the making, but you got to be taught right. And you got to follow what the Bible is saying. Anytime you hear a woman with a big fat mouth say, I'm going to lead a congregation, well, men's that, you ain't got for 6 years to lead your own son. So you turn them over. How you going to lead grown men? You mean a grown man going to listen to a woman, teach the Bible, and lead a congregation? That is a recipe for Satan the devil, according to the Bible. If we're going to get in order, we got to teach right and live right and walk right according to Scripture. Then the blessing's going to be flowing on us. We got to lead by example. Make a hard decision, but just make a decision according to the Bible. That's all you got to do. Now, we're going to bring our elder in. He'll give his closing thoughts on take 130. Then we'll bring our mother Z in to address this national audience over 500,000 plus. Elder, you on the clock tonight.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. I think thus far we've had some good lessons on how the Bible should be studied. And some of those lessons come from the book of Sirach. The first one is chapter 11, verse number 8. 8 says, answer not before I've heard the cause, neither in the right men in the midst of their talk. Which I think we have a good idea exactly what that means. Because when we also stay in the same chapter 11, looking at verses 35 to 37, it sort of smooths it out a little bit. Sirach, chapter 11, verse number 35 to 37. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. 36, and if thou seest a man of understanding, get ye behind unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door. 37. Let thy mind be upon the ordinance of the Yahweh, and meditate continually in his commandments or Torah instructions. He shall establish thine heart of mind, and give thee wisdom at thy own desire. Well, the wisdom of Yahweh is what we need in this ministry, and that's what we teach. Because we all know that a teacher can't learn from his students. I say that many times. Because the teacher is giving wise counsel. And that wise counsel is coming from the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. It's open to your life, always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, always about Yahweh's word. And connecting the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping those Sabbath days. We do this because this is information you came to seek. And you have to look no further now. You found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. The days that we're open is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. The time of that class is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. The first is tribeyadah.com. After you click enter to send the big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh the kindness of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. When doing this, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh Live. Also for building a school, banquet hall, and radio station with land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We even have a calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. It's a feature that's only available during our live broadcast time. Enter the three words of Yahweh Radio Live, and after click enter, look for Voices of the Truth.
Elder, I think you're battling your microphone on one. See, I'll tell you what we'll do. We just will mute him out for this broadcast. Get back to the program. All right. Mother Z, it's time for you now to address this national audience. Now, we had a pretty good interest. We got a couple of memos on the table. One young lady says that on a great big old camp, they don't call my camp out. My husband on passed. I got a 6-year-old son. What should I do? I heard the message from last night, and I explained to her what to do. She got to get it to one of the 6 anointed camps that will show him how to be what he needs to be. So it's clear that again, this ministry out in Africa says, my husband was a pastor, and he on past, and we fighting over here, who should precede him? We caught the message last night. Should I continue to be the pastor? No, you're not. You should not continue to be the pastor. And because once you got your son past 6 years old, that son should have been in the hands of anointed leadership. But you're doing everything out of order out there in South Africa. You're keeping Sunday, Lord God and Jesus, and you're wearing the gate clothes and no friends and all. So you have a whole lot to do besides not being the pastor to take your husband's place. You have a lot of things you got to do. And that is the way it is, a whole lot of things you got to do. So now we're going to bring Mother in.
Good economics. When he completes a mission, she will train her offspring in early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Understanding is the best thing. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in the breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship. In her natural uncivilized state, she would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male. She would have a limited protection tendency towards her independent male offspring and would raise the female offspring to be dependent like her. Nature will provide for this type of balance. Now, we reverse nature by burning and pulling one civilized nigger apart and blood whipping the other to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal causes her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. So in this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reverse roles. The fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Because she has become psychologically independent, she will train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You've got the nigger woman out front and the man behind, scared. This is a perfect situation for sound sleep and economics.
The world knows. deliver of them. All they gotta do is do the same thing we read in the book of Judas. We might read in Wednesday night. See, in the book of Judas, it said, look, all you gotta do for them, King, is get them to go against Yahweh's rules and regulations, and we can whoop them all day long. But if they ever come back to the Bible or what the Bible's saying, we're in trouble. So long we can keep on and keep this woman with a big black mouth going, we always gonna be in control. But once the role get back to the Bible, Yahweh will intervene, then we're gonna take care of the game sale. But we're not gonna be able to do that until this woman understand one thing. If you got a better half, a man, you got the body to hit bleed. You can't have your fat black mouth going if he present. And he's supposed to check that then and now if that happens. And you only got 6 years to give your opinion to that young man. When that young man gets 7 years old, he got to be in leadership role to show how to be a man. Then he won't make one of the dumbest mistakes it is, grabbing a better half on appearance. He'll grab a better half that's a Yahweh woman that is trained by the mother raising him to give him something to work with to be his helpmate. Not to some hoochie mama just a pole dancer. That's what we do. We're going to look for a pole dancer and try to rehabilitate a pole down. Then he ends up all over the cover everywhere. Now we going with the men out to find a pole down. Oh, I like her. Look what she doing. She rolling on that pole real good. I'm seeking out to talk to her. You see, you do? See, this is where we got to bring the trend. I understand the Yahweh man got to be raised to be a Yahweh man. And the mother got to teach these daughters how to look for a Yahweh man. And the men that in leadership got these men to find a Yahweh woman, not a pole dancer. You got it? We'll leave it right here. Get you in out of trouble. You end up in places you don't want to be. You know? Shoot. Let's go buy Mother Z. And Mother Z get ready to address this national audience on what the Almighty put on her. So, Mother Z, Yahweh be there, Steve Royce.
Yahweh bless and keep you, see Israel, all right, your seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. Now, Mother Z, this is the best part of the broadcast when you address this national audience, over 500,000 plus on the international side. So now, what did the Almighty put on you to tell them you on the clock come out?
I'm going to read for the national audience tonight. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. And I read down, I don't know if it's all the way through 39, but I'm going to start reading at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh? Elect. It is Yahweh that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Yahweh the Son that died, yet rose, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Yahweh the Father, who also made intercession for us all. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Yahweh? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution of family or nakedness or sword. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accused, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquered through him that love us. Verse 38, for I am persecuted, that neither death nor life nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come. Verse 39, no height, no depth, no any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yahweh the Son, Yahweh, Abba Yahweh. And this is what I'm saying. We just need to learn the Torah instruction and learn to become a doer of it. And we need not to let nothing or no one separate us from the Torah instruction, separate us from him in his name. And that is what I would like to leave with the national audience and say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you.
Excellent. That's the best part of the broadcast when Mother addressed his mouth and only let you know. Listen, we got to make a Bible decision. You see when Hannah made a Bible decision, you see what she did? Yahweh, he knew that Eli Kryptonite was his boy. So he had her to make a statement with the mouth, and when that boy turned seven years, give me Samuel and get trained up on the Eli the seer. He got trained up on the Eli the seer because he knew Eli was going to mess up and that kryptonite messed him up. So he's clear. But then that's what Yahweh is doing right now. This message come behind all the rest of the message, show what we out of order at. He put all this land before us. It's time for us to get it, build on it, for people to come all over the world and sit down and get themselves straight. But we sitting there playing like it's no never mind. We either roll our sleeves up and get busy on what we got to do for our nation to get the blessing that we've been chosen to do. That's all we got to do. We get the blessing that we got coming.
Master X, you have described the Muslim movement as a religious organization, and you said that there are a great many misconceptions about your attitudes and stated views. Could we press for a very simple answer to one question? Do you hate all white people?
I don't think it's a fair question. The white man doesn't even come into my attitude. Mr. Muhammad teaches us to love our own kind and let the white man take care of himself. For a white man today, sir, after kidnapping millions of black people from Africa, stripping them of all human characteristics and relegating them to the role of chattel or cattle or animal, commodity, merchandise that could be bought and sold at will. And then 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, using every type of deceptive method to further us into slavery, called second-class citizenship, I think that it would take a whole lot of nerve for white people today to ask Negroes do they hate them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And we don't hate anybody ourselves. It's not killing anybody. It's just time for you to set the record straight. Exactly what we got to do. Then you know, Yahweh let us know, if we get in order, he's going to intervene. If we remain out of order, Yahweh going to sit there and just watch us self-destruct. But he got a generation that's going to come, that's going to get this thing in order for him to come back. He ain't come back unless you're in order. You got to know what you crazy to do, do it. What you better have crazy to do, do it. And love it. Then Yahweh going to intervene. It's simple as that. So we're going back to the broadcast, and I'm going to bring Mother D up Israel. We know she's holding something, and we're going to see what she's holding, and we're going to take care of that. And then Brother Titus is going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 down to 7 and 12 down, 10 down to 10 down about 15. But right now we're going to bring Mother D up Israel in. I know she's holding something. She's ready to go. Mother D up Israel, come on.
1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 to 10, 15 to 17, and verse 27. 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. And he said unto him.
18, 19, and 27. 18, 19, and 27. 1 Samuel chapter 9, 6 through 10, skip down to verse 15, 18, 19, and 27. Come on.
Verse
Samuel chapter 9, 6 down to verse 10, skip down to 18, 19, and 27. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 to 10, 18 and 19, and verse 27. Okay.
And don't forget about 15. Read 15. Read 6 through 10, verse 15, then skip down to 18, 19, and 27.
All right. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of Yahweh, and he is an honorable man. All that he says coming surely to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Verse 7. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man, for the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of Yahweh. What have we? Verse 8. And the servant answered Saul, saying again, and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of Yahweh to tell us our way. Verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of Yahweh, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of Yahweh was. Verse 15. Now Yahweh had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, verse 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray you, where the seer's house is. Verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in thine mind. 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said unto Saul, bid the servants pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand you still a while, that I may show you the word of Yahweh.
I'm not going to even ask the 6 anointed candles how many times they use the word called man, but it was 6 times. 6 times he used the man. The man leads the way, not the woman. Man. 6 times it was used from verse 6, 6 times the man. Now, how do a woman overlook that and see what is said? The man leads. You got to go find the man. The man. You know, you got to get out these puffed up spirits and let the man do what he's supposed to do by being a Yahwali man, and you do what you got to do by being a Yahwali woman. And then that's how this thing gonna work. And that's what we're gonna sit up in the 6 anointed camp. It's no accident all this land before us to set this thing in order for the return of Yahweh. We'll tell you more about it in prophecy. That was the WCC wants the prophecy. But we got the detour of prophecy to let you know one thing. You men, you got to get in order. What kind of order? Bible order.
That's
you
it.
Can't look at your better half and don't see when she out of order. Correct that woman to be a Yahwali woman and follow your lead. You got to do it. Who Yahwah going to pass you over? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 through 7, 10 down to verse 14 or 15, Brother Titus. Let's see what we can read in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 down to verse 7, then we'll skip down to 10, down about 14 or 15. Come on, Brother Titus, bring me a little bass. Let me hear some bass. Let me hear a little roar. Come on.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 to 7. Skip down verse 10 to 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 reads, 2 Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahweh the Father, and Yahweh the Son, our Yahweh. Verse 3 reads, let me skip down, 2 down to verse 7, continue. Verse 3, I thank Yahweh whom I serve, for my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing, I have remembered of you in my prayers, night and day. Skip down, verse 4 reads, greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remember the upraised faith that is in me, which dwell first in my grandmother, Lois, and your mother, and Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Verse 6, therefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you, by putting on of many hands. Verse 7. For Yahweh has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get down, verse 10 to 15. But this thou made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Yahweh the Son, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the covenant. Verse 11. Whereto I am appointed a teacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12. For to which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have, committed unto him against that day. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of the sound words which you have heard of me, and faith and love that is in Yahweh the Son. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto you, keep it. The righteous spirit which dwelleth in us. Verse 15. This you know. You go on.
That's good. Back up and read verse 6 and 12. Hey, bro, Titus, back up and read verse 6 and 12 again. 6 and 12. And Brother Micaiah, have me Acts chapter 1, chapter 9, verse 1, then 6 down to verse 16. Back up and read verse 6 and 12 again now. You got a line, Brother Titus?
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 12. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of Yahweh which is in you by putting on of many hands. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
So he told Titus, I'm going to put you in a position to put to be laying on the hand. I got to back away from that, but Micaiah, that Acts chapter 9, I got to back away. I want to know what this means. You mean Titus supposed to go and put his hand on those that's in trouble? Now, I got to deal with that. I mean, I thought I was supposed to go to Acts 9, 1, 6 through 16. But no, you know, Phil, I want you back up on that because you dropped some down. So you got to recognize when somebody to put their hands on you. You got to understand to receive in order of Yahweh. You got to listen to what the Bible's saying. Now, let's see where it's coming from. Read verse 6 again. Brother Titus, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Read that again.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you, by putting on of many hands.
That big talk right there. Now, I got to deal with that for a minute. I got to back up and deal with that. So, Micaiah, back up. Let's see where it's coming from. Putting your hands on somebody for what reason. I got to find out where you're coming from. Let's back up Genesis 48:17. Let's find out what's going on there, Brother Titus. I mean, Micaiah. I need to find out what he means by putting hands. Because, see, what it is, we mess around have people put their hands, and their hand can have a devil on their hand. You got to understand something. You got to know what the Bible says. You got to make sure you clear. Remember, Paul got Titus right to go lay his hand on the subject that needs some blessing. But he has to be instructed. Because you got a lot of time, you might go into any of those pagan churches and everybody be trying to reach and put their old broom hand on somebody's head and got the devil in them. You got to watch these things. Y'all got to watch this thing. I'm trying to tell you. You got to what's going on. You got to be, they come from everywhere. They come from everywhere. Put your hand on top of his head. And it has to be the devil himself. And you want to know what will happen? They didn't have to fight back. Let's back and see what's going on here in Genesis 48, 17. Brother McKay, Genesis 48, 17, what it say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 48, verse 17. 17 reads, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head.
Go ahead.
Verse 18. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. Verse 19. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his deeds shall become a multitude of nations. Verse 20. And he blessed them that...
That's good right there. That's good. I'm not going to go far. I'll give that a little bit later. But you see, when you put a hand on a person, you put a blessing on somebody. You got to watch these old devils putting their hand on you. They can mess around, sit you back so far. These old devils got their old wicked hand on you. Their spirit ain't right, and they got their hand stuck out, trying to get on top of your head, too. Oh. Back up Deuteronomy, 34 verse 9, Micaiah. 34 verse 9. You got to watch these things. See, we got to know these things. How can a person put their hand on somebody and they don't even have the order of Yahweh got in the book? And we wonder why we always, the more you put your hand on me, the worse I get. Deuteronomy. 34 verse 9.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him.
You see that? So you see that? See, now, Moses put his hand on Joshua. Joshua was filled with the righteous spirit. So was Moses. So now that hand that went on him, Yahweh told him, and prior back a few verses, go give Joshua a charge. So he put his hand on Joshua and gave him a charge, and he put him on the stand that you're going to supersede me because I'm going to let the people wear me down, you see. So you just can't let anybody put their hand on you that might be a Christian. And all these little things, and their hands can cause you more trouble than you understand with the Bible. Might be somebody close to you. I love this person, but this person is wicked as hell. They are sometimes, they ain't doing this right here. So you got to watch the hands that's on top of your head. Now it's bad up and find out what kind of hands will be on you, Mother E. Let's find what kind of hand folk be on you. Let's go to Leviticus 5:5. Let's go to Leviticus 5:5. See, the Bible will tell you everything, so I don't know why we're here, but it's because Paul told Timothy and Titus after he got him on his feet, now go put your hands on the next minister coming up after I give you a charge on what to say, what to do, what to look like. You got a lot of them. If you remember going to the most wicked Christian churches, everybody got their hand on somebody. And them demons in there smiling at you. Them demons smiling. The more you put your hand out, the more them demons smile. You see that? Now, let's go to Leviticus 5:5. Hey, Malik, what can we read in 5:5 in a closing statement? Let's go to Leviticus 5:5 and close the statement. Come on.
Book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 5. And it shall be and he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he had sinned in that thing.
See, first of all, when you have sin, you got to confess that you are, that you, first of all, you got to confess your sin. And all the 17 nations, ain't nobody confessed with their adoption to the children of Israel. So how are you going to put their hand on you and you ain't even confess? You ain't confess that you wicked as hell? You know, and they want to put their hand on you, try to get in the line where they can bless you. There ain't no bunch of demons in it. You got to first confess you ain't right. Then you got to repent. So you got to have all this information on tape. Mother E, time will run out. So give us a closing statement. And Mother D.F. Israel, help me, Proverbs 28, 13, and 14, waiting on me. Mother E, closing statement. We kept you Wednesday for some more of this. What's your closing statement? Come on, Mother E.
Well, thank you for being here, or for the class, for the spirit, and for the teachers, Brother Titus and Brother Micaiah. And I'm going to read three verses in Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Yahweh of hosts come to me, saying, thus said the Yahweh of hosts, I was jealous for the city of David with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Verse 3. Thus said the Yahweh, I am returned unto the city of David, and I will dwell in the midst of Yahweh Judah, and Yahweh Judah shall be called a city of truth, and a mountain of the Yahweh of hosts, and the righteous mountain. Okay. Hallelujah.
Excellent, Mother E. Man, Mother D, that was excellent. So look. See, we got to see. Listen. Sixing on the count. You got to watch people with the mouth gone if they're not Torah keepers. If they mouth gone and not Torah keepers, they really have nothing to say. See, you got to get out the spirit and get in the body. You want the blessing of Yahweh? You got to be like a him. You see what she did? Then Yahweh turned right around and took her pride and joy from him and gave him to Eli the seer, then blessed her with five more kids. Three more boys and two more. See, Yahweh's in the blessing business, but the only way you get your blessing, you got to take the lead. And thus says Yahweh. Now, Mother D of Israel, give me Proverbs 28, 13 and 14, what
that
say?
Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confess and forsake them shall have mercy. 14. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that harden his mind shall fall into mischief.
You hear what I'm saying? So you can't be wicked as hell and all of a sudden you got your mouth gone. Young brother, look at this person right here. Got your mouth gone and doing everything contrary to this doggone book. I gave you a dress code. I told you how to walk, how to talk and everything. And you don't apply to anything, but you got your mouth gone. We got to change these things if you want Yahweh to intervene. I built all the lands before us. We got to make a decision what we can read, and Yahweh going to intervene. Hey, mother, now we can go to James 5, 13 through 16, and now you see why they pull these verses, Mother D.F. Israel, and a closing statement. Let's go to James. See, now, when somebody lay their hands on you, they got to be a Yahweh man, a Yahweh woman, to keep the order of Yahweh was written. Not just putting your hand out there and knowing that you wicked as hell, that you are, you getting your feelings, you run your mouth and your mouth will be closed. Yeah, why are you not going to be in that? They're going to be in order. If we get in order, he coming in. Long we remain in our feelings and got these emotional and your feminine spirits, Yahweh going to watch you. That's why he sent the last message to tell you, bosses number two is like this anointed camp, to show you how to lead by example according to as it's written, to receive the blessings. Now we can read James chapter 5, 13 through 16, and close saving that mother day up Israel. Come on.
James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation of Israel. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. Verse 15, and the prayer of the covenant keepers shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Well, hold on. Give me a precept in Surah 4, verse 7. See, you can't come up another way in this thing. Surah chapter 4, verse 7, there, Mother D. of Israel, a closing statement.
Okay. Surah chapter 4, verse 7. Get yourself the love of the congregation and bow your head to a great man.
See, you got to get the love of the congregation. You can't be talking no smack and you got the love of the congregation. You gotta be in order and get the love of the congregation, then Yahweh gonna intervene.
Yeah.
You got to have the right spirit to be doing Yahweh's business in order.
Yeah.
So Yahweh gonna look at this and look at that. They number the walking devil. Got their hand out to my they gonna heal somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mother D.F. Israel, until we meet Wednesday night, what your closing statement is, you on the clock, come on.
Proverbs 28, verse 9 and 10. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the Torah instruction, even his prayer shall be abomination. Verse 10. Whosoever causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That was excellent, Mother Israel. I mean, you read that with conviction. See, that's what I'm talking about. You see what kind of spirit you got to have. You got to be believing what you you want to get right. Let's get Bible right. Give me first John 1:8-10 and 2 John 2-4 in the closing statement. 1 John 1:8-10, right side of the book. Then swing down to 1 John 2:2-4 in the closing statement. Now, come on, young lion, Brother Titus, come on.
All right, we're going to 1 John. Well, 1 John 1:8-10. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have no If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not enough. First John, chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. First John, chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our own, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his Torah instruction. First 5 books. Verse 4. And he that said, I know him and keep it not, his Torah instruction is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
All right, what you gonna say behind that? If you say you know Yahweh and you ain't keeping Torah instruction, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Simple as that. You are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Go say in front of Titus, come on, and Malachi in Acts chapter 9:1-6-16. Soon, Brother Titus, give his closing statement. Come on.
The book of Baruch, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, Yahweh had made good his word, which he pronounced against us and against our judges, that judged Israel and against our king and against our prince and against the man of Israel and against Yahdah Jesus. I give one more. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 25. Receive therefore instruction through my words, and it should do you good. Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, receive instruction, you'll do you good. That's the bottom line. If you get out your spirit and do what Yahweh say, you do you good. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, excellent. 9:1-16, you on the clock in the closed statement. Come on, Brother Micaiah.
Book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1, 6 down to 16. Verse 1 reads, and Saul, yet breathing out threatened and slaughtered against the followers of Yahweh, went unto the high priest. Verse 6. And he trembled and astonished, said, Yahweh, what will you have me to do? And Yahweh said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Verse 7. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they laid him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. 10. And there was a certain follower at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said Yahweh in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Yahweh. Verse 11. And Yahweh said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed. Verse 12. And he had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Yahweh, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to your children of Israel at Yahdah-Judah. 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. 15. And Yahweh said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 12 and 14, the closing statement. 12 and 14, one more time, the closing statement. Verse 12 and 14, and we'll catch y'all Wednesday night. Come on that, Brother Makai. Verse 12 and 14, the closing statement, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 12 and verse 14. Verse 12 reads, and have seen in his ears a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name.
He's putting hands on him from the power of Yahweh, see, right here. Be careful who put their hands on you. Make sure it's a Yahweh man, Yahweh woman, that you know the keep the Torah instruction. All right, Brother Makai, closes out. You're on the clock. We'll catch you all Wednesday night, and we'll get on End Time Prophecy Wednesday night. Come on.